and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, certified financial planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
So, welcome everybody. In the studio, I'm Colleen Wares. I'm in for Ron Jolly today. Heidi Thompson and Dennis Prout bring us the new Retirement Radio. Welcome, you guys.
Good morning, Colleen. Thanks for having us in. It's fun having you here. Thanks for stepping in. We were talking about doing a rebroadcast, and you said, you know, I think I can figure this out last week.
We'll find out in the next 50 minutes, won't we? It's all new, but you have to learn somehow.
You bet.
So, you know, before we dive into what you wanted to talk about, I had the funniest revelation. Your program is called New Retirement Radio, and that's what it all comes down to, planning our retirement, right?
It is. It is, and everyone, of course, does it differently, but we're seeing more and more variety out there. People waiting longer now, holding off maybe even doing consulting part-time. It really is its own gig, and it's a very different chapter for people. You know, we always hear that, you know, a new chapter. Well, it is a very, very new chapter. So lots to talk about.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to slide the microphone over here to Heidi and let you guys take it away, and I'll just be right here to help.
Sure. Appreciate it, Colleen. Thank you again. Thank you for all of your kind comments from last week's show. We were talking about being rich and what that means, and it's just such a strange term it seems to use anymore these days. But the elements of success that people generally want to look toward achieving, and achieving beyond perhaps what you or even your loved ones had conceived or preconceived, what you might want to do for the rest of your life.
And, you know, if I can just throw this in here, we got a lot of response to this topic.
Really?
People wrote me notes asking for that list or asking to hear it again, et cetera.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So people are quite interested in that.
I had clients telling me I made my children listen to that. So, it was really fun to hear. We sure appreciate it. And we'll be talking about that subject more in the future. Obviously, if we're involved, I'm involved in this every day, it seems like, of the week. And sometimes, honestly, I just discount what you may want to be interested in or are interested in because it's just part and parcel of what we do. So we sure appreciate the comments.
And it was interesting that article came from Reader's Digest. You know, you just wouldn't think that that's where you'd find that kind of information. But it was very compelling.
Totally out of left field, and I love it. We all need that upkick, you know, to get going. So Heidi Thompson is joining us. She is our managing executive, a retirement income certified professional, and now a total tax geek. After last week, we had our class with Ed Slott, so we're kind of up to date on things.
A total
total tax
geek. Something to strive for.
Yes, no kidding. This week, we are talking about Social Security. Social Security.
There we go.
And what that means, some of the basics, as well as some of the things that you may not be aware of, hopefully. The population that are going to be at retirement is going to increase from about 56 million today of those over the age 65 to about 78 million by 2035, when it's estimated that Social Security will no longer have its trust fund and will have to cut their payments given the current schedule to, my recollection says, about 75% of current payments, because they will only be able to pay out what they're bringing in from taxes. So the trust fund is actually helping augment the income that everyone draws. 2035, now most people would say that's only about 14 years away. It's not that far. So how old will you be in 14 years? You know, think about it. And how should you prepare for this possibility? And or will Congress step up to the plate and actually make those adjustments that need to be made between now and then? Great question.
Hopefully there. Somebody will take a look at it.
Yes. We were talking about some of the other programs that have been coming in from the federal government and before the show, Heidi and I. And one of the comments was, wouldn't it be great if they actually dealt with Social Security and tightened that thing up, give everyone a lot more confidence, including those younger who are continuing to put money in involuntarily, as it were, about 6% of their pay, along with their employer putting in about 6%. Now, if you are self-employed, that means you're putting in 12% of your compensation for your Social Security taxes. That's not including your Medicare tax. First, paper Social Security statements are no longer mailed until a worker reaches age 60, and only then if the worker has not signed up for a My Social Security online account. SSA.gov is the website, and as Heidi and I were talking about the radio show, I looked up my own statement online and was comparing age 62 and then full retirement benefits and then age 70 benefits. Those benefits, first off, increase by 8% or so per year, depending on whether or not you'll continue to work. If you're going to continue to work, then theoretically, previous years could drop off. Now, question, how many years does the Social Security Administration use to figure your Social Security benefits? How many years can they use or do they use?
Do you have a guess, Colleen?
You mean to figure out the amount?
The amount of your benefit, correct.
10.
It's a good guess. That's what you actually, you have to have 10 years of participation in order to get a benefit. Correct. Right. But they'll figure up to 35 years of payments into the Social Security system. So what does that mean? Obviously, as you age, your income tends to increase, and thus your benefits can increase dramatically too. Now, online, it'll actually figure that for you if you're estimating, well, you know, I'm probably not going to stop at age 62. What if I continue to work part-time? Well, add in that change in income. And you can see what that benefit is. It's just a clicker right there. A clicker. It's an estimator. An estimator that you can click on that will show you the difference in your benefit.
So really tell me handy. This. Is this just my current perspective? But it seems like people, say, 62 and over, are indeed choosing to keep working.
Well, yes. And then the other question comes in, well, should I collect my Social Security benefits at 62 right. if I'm working part-time? Well, that really depends on how long you intend to live. Smarty pants, right?
There's that, right?
No kidding. Well, so the break-even point can be fascinating. I mean, there are so many variables with that. Yes.
And Dennis, we also want to keep in mind, if you're claiming Social Security before your full retirement date, there's also an earnings cap before they start reducing your benefits. So you want to keep that in mind. If you're going to still work, you'll want to take a look at those numbers so you can see if it works for you with that strategy.
Right. So you could possibly take a cut in your benefits if your earnings are, say, over about $20,000 of about $2 for every $1 over that amount. And that's key. So your benefits may be cut to such an extent that you say, well, I hadn't intended to work. I started my Social Security benefits, for instance, and then I got a job or I got hired again and I really don't need those. Well, does anyone say I don't need the benefits? Yeah. I really don't want to collect those benefits.
So what do you do?
So you can actually stop the benefits. And they're treated in the end not as though you never received it, but you continue then to get credit. So let's say you're 63 years old. You started at age 62. I know Colleen, that is so far away for you. So
I can't even see that far ahead. See? Because I can't see.
Yes. So let's just say you started at age 62, not even knowing that you were going to have this position at age 63, and you love it. But because you're earning over that $20,000, your Social Security benefits are cut, let's say, from, I don't know, $2,000 a month down to $1,000 a month, for instance. And you just as soon stop that benefit from Social Security and then continue to receive credits so you get a higher income
so
later.
So you can do that.
Which you can. You can do that.
That's awesome. For no penalty.
For no penalty. Now, you would have collected the benefits and you won't be able to collect quite as much as you would have otherwise if you hadn't collected any. But it's not going to be that much of a difference. Because theoretically, let's say you work all the way through age 70. I mean, you're just loving it and you're feeling great. That does happen. You could have theoretically said, well, in this case, I know I'm going to live until I'm 82 at least. And I know that the break even is about 10 to 12 years. I'm going to wait until I'm 70. Now, am I encouraging people to wait until 70? The answer is no. But you theoretically could if you wanted to. So it is really something to take a look at. That's why we do these financial plans for clients, so you can more accurately gauge, do I really want to do this? And you honestly, it's surprising how many people don't know that their benefit increases each month that they wait from age 62 to any age beyond that, beyond 62.
So as long as you can wait, the better, sounds
generally,
like.
Yes. Now, it's not just based on yourself, because that benefit annually increases about 8% a year. Good luck trying to find a guaranteed 8%, right? But if you want to guarantee that increase at 8%, that's a great thing. Now, what if your spouse is going to collect on your benefit? What a great thing to think about in terms of a death benefit, because he or she then will get your increased benefit if you pass away early. Well, most men pass away before their wives. Let's just use that as an example. And let's say in this instance, that my benefit is larger than my wife's, and or, of course, vice versa. If I or my wife were to wait, given whomever, I think that's the right way to say it, has a larger benefit, then if I pass away early, he or she then get my benefit. And, of course, then that means that their income will have risen dramatically because I waited. So let's say I've not collected at age 62, and let's just say my benefit at that point was $2,000. If, for instance, I'm to wait until I'm age 67 almost, full retirement age, and let's say at that point it would be $3,000. Let's say then I start collecting, and I get taken out at dead man's curve 2 years later, Jill would then get my $3,000 benefit instead of the $2,000 benefit that I started with at age 62. Now, we're not including any increases for inflation in that illustration, but it's $1,000 more a month for Jill's lifetime versus not. So that can really make a difference.
So this reminded me of something that I heard, and tell me if this is correct. Let's say that you are in your 60s or 50s or whatever, and you get divorced and you don't remarry. Are you still entitled to your ex-spouse's Social Security payment?
If you want it, and yes, you are entitled to it.
As long as you've been married for 10 years.
10 years. Mm-hmm. There's another 10-year time frame, Colleen.
Yeah.
So it's 10 years. So you can collect on your own benefit or the benefit of your previous spouse.
So it doesn't affect the previous spouse then?
No. Now that's another that's great question. And they won't know about it unless you decide to tell them. So it's confidential.
And so if you've been married to two different people for 10 years each, and you're divorced, you're single, you could choose which former spouse benefit you want to claim.
That's pretty great. I mean, right?
Theoretically.
It does. I mean, for as crazy as some things are, this seems pretty reasonable.
It is,
like
in terms
deal,
of
right?
Being able to collect on whatever benefit would help you the most, mm-hmm. in that case. It can be, that can make a nice difference for the spouse that's no longer married. You bet.
And then, Dennis, just one point I was thinking about when you were discussing the 8% increase in that monthly income. So some people, maybe you retire, you may want to draw your income from maybe another source, like your 401k, in order to have a couple more years, wait a couple more years for that Social Security to kick in to get that higher monthly benefit.
And now that's another great point. So because your retirement benefits are 100% taxable, and we anticipate tax rates to increase here, it may make sense, especially if you're retiring now or in the immediate future, to take a look at drawing money from your 401k or IRA accounts instead of taking money out of Social Security, because Social Security is only up to 85% taxable.
If you need the money. I mean, if you don't.
Right. So you really do have a lot of options, and that's why we really recommend that generally potential clients get a financial plan done when we're sitting with them, because we can really take a look at these comparisons and take a look at your individual situation and hopefully give you even better advice than you might other have gotten.
In my notes here, I had a reminder to talk to you about in-person consultation.
You bet.
I mean, did you have some changes there? And
we did.
What's happening now?
Yeah, we had a bunch of changes. Well, for the first 6 weeks of COVID, we had to shut down. But then, because we're considered
essential,
right?
Thanks.
Yeah.
There's the word, an essential business. We were able to open back up. But in terms of that, we had to give more space between our meetings. We had to disinfect the offices after each meeting. We actually hired these little robots that sit in the corner of the office. I'm only teasing partially.
I'm waiting for the
punchline. They kill all the viruses. Yeah, they're actually air filtration systems.
So maybe you should be, you know, scheduling your meetings out on a park bench somewhere.
Yeah, that'd be okay. You know, if it ever gets above 70, is that ever going to happen, by the way? I'm just curious.
Not in our forecast.
Just curious.
So,
actually,
but
yeah,
so you are
the model
meeting
of what we have is right there, that little guy that is the air filter that actually kills COVID as well. But it's interesting now that everybody seems like everyone that we see has gotten their vaccine, including all the staff, we pretty much feel
pretty safe, right?
Pretty safe,
yeah.
You bet.
So you are, to answer that question, you are doing in-person consultations.
Yes.
And,
yeah. And we have have the screen up in the middle of the table there so that, if you will, people can feel more safe to
and
sit across from each other.
947-3992 is a number that I won't forget. That was my childhood phone number. I know I've told you that before.
Oh, really?
And if you're wanting to make an appointment, go in and talk things through. Your office is right near Garfield, so it's just west of Garfield.
Just west
Front
of
Street.
Burger King, actually. You bet. 1040.
How convenient.
Pretty easy address to remember.
Yes. Or Proud Financial.
Given the pain and suffering that's going on right now with 1040s, huh?
Right. ProudFinancialDesign.com, by the way, too. Online, get all the details. And I know that you would love to chat with people about planning their fantastic futures.
We really do. It's quite a career that we have in trying to help people figure this out, and we thoroughly enjoy it. Now, Heidi, before we get started, by the way, on the radio shows, we actually have the version without the advertisements on the website, and then we also have podcasts of that. So for those who want to listen while you're out and about.
Or listen again because it was so awesome.
Yes, there you go. And that is proutfinancialdesign.com. Lots of visitors to that as well. So Heidi, Social Security fact sheet. Let's talk about that.
Okay. We just thought these were some interesting stats on Social Security. And this is a fact sheet that came right off of that Social Security website. So in 2020, about 65 million Americans will receive over $1 trillion in Social Security benefits. So the average benefit for a retired worker is $1,514 average monthly. And disabled workers, their average is a little lower. It's $1,259 average monthly benefit. And Social Security is the major source of income for most of the elderly. Not nearly 9 out of 10 individuals age 65 and older receive Social Security benefits. Social Security benefits represent about 33% of the income for the elderly. And I thought this was an interesting statistic. Among elderly Social Security beneficiaries, 50% of married couples and 70% of unmarried persons receive 50% or more of their income from Social Security. It just shows, Dennis, what a basis it is for so many people for that retirement income.
Yeah, that's significant.
Yeah, yes. And there's another one that says for elderly Social Security beneficiaries, 21% of married couples and about 45% of unmarried persons rely on Social Security for 90% of their income needs.
21% of married couples get 90% or more of their income from Social Security.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right, so Social Security provides more than just retirement benefits. Retired workers and their dependents account for about 73.2% of total benefits paid. But disabled workers and their benefits account for about...
And their dependents.
Account for about 14.5% of total benefits paid. So an estimated 178 million workers are covered under Social Security in 2019. That's a 2019 number. 49% of the workforce in private industry has no private pension coverage.
And isn't that interesting? Because we've talked about this in previous shows, that because companies have moved from providing pensions, that number has steadily declined. Those firms or companies that do that, it's up to us to try to figure out where this income is going to come from. And it's critically important that we start saving whenever we can for our own retirements.
And that's where a lot of private companies have switched from these pension plans to now offering 401k plans.
Yes.
But that makes it incumbent on the employee to save from their check in order to maybe get a match or to build
a retirement account.
A portfolio of money that they can draw upon in retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So they've moved sort of the responsibility from themselves to the individual.
Now, that is a great way to put it, because previously when there were pensions, the responsibility was totally in the company to provide that. And as interest rates go up and they go down, the estimates in terms of what they have to fund that plan change. And obviously, as the economic world changes, that company's ability to fund that pension may decline. That's the risk. Okay, go ahead, Heidi. Sorry.
All right. So two-thirds or 67% of workers are saving for retirement. Having an employer-sponsored retirement savings plan is a key factor in whether Americans save for retirement. But I would just point out, if you do not have a plan at your employer, there is still a way for you to save on your own with your own individual retirement account, either a traditional or a Roth. You can still do that even if you have no plan at work.
Yeah, and what's interesting is it doesn't matter what your income is. You can still do a fully deductible IRA at that point. Let's say you're over 50 years old. In essence, then you could put up to $7,000 per year and fully deduct that sum that you've put into that account because you don't have access to an employer-sponsored retirement plan. It doesn't matter your income. Now, Roth contributions will be limited based on your income, but there's no income limitation if you're not in an employer retirement plan for a traditional IRA, or for that matter, a non-deductible IRA. So there are three major types of IRAs you can participate in. Any of them are available to anyone as long as you have earned income.
So in 1940, the life expectancy of a 65-year-old was almost 14 years. Today, it is just over 20 years. So that makes an impact as well.
It does. And isn't that interesting? Honestly, I was expecting it to be less, or fewer years, rather, at age 65 in 1940. I was surprised it was that long, age 79 versus about 85 today.
So you're going to need more money.
Yes. Yeah. And especially if you're in great health. Now, that's the other thing. For those who listen to WTCM, your average life expectancy is going to be longer. How do I know this? He knows things. You know, I don't know. But one of the key components is, do you have a dog? If you have a dog, you're going to tend, your life expectancy is longer. And I know you're probably thinking, well, where in the heck did he get this? These are actually statistics. So
they aren't. Well, if dogs take your anxiety away.
They do, and for a lot of different reasons. And you're out walking them or chasing them or whatever, right? But what's interesting about that is, if you have a longer life expectancy, obviously you want to think differently about what retirement might look like and think longer, because they continue to make advances in healthcare and in medicine. And so the things that you thought you couldn't get through, perhaps, as an illness or a disability, may wind up not being the case as
right,
you age.
Right. Think of how many things people are diagnosed with now that they can take care of with, you know, a minor surgery or a change in diet or something like that, because they know far enough in advance.
I remember way back in the day, my grandmother had the worst pain in her knees. And sometimes I wondered how she got around. Well, today, of course, she could have simply gotten a knee replacement.
A new one, right?
Who would have heard of such a thing when, you know, back in the 1970s?
Do you know they're making ankles now?
No.
You can get an ankle replacement.
Wow.
Wow, kid you not.
I really don't like my ankles in that. Should I change?
Ankles?
Yes. Well, you can put a necklace on that. You know, whatever. You know, so you hear, you might hear those conversations walking down Traverse City Street. Sorry. Go ahead,
Heidi. All right, moving right along. By 2035, the number of Americans 65 and older will increase from approximately 56 million today to over 78 million. That's a lot.
Some people would say that's over 20 million. And it's probably, let's see, what percentage would that be then? Did you say 58 million?
56
million. So that's more than 30%, a 30%, 30 plus percent increase in those who are driving slow Cadillacs, you know, and whatever else. So it's interesting to think about the huge tidal wave of retirees that we're going to see. And as Colleen mentioned, some of them may be working longer as well because they don't want to be home all that much.
Okay, there's one more fact on our sheet here. It says there are currently 2.8 workers for each Social Security beneficiary. By 2035, there will be 2.3 covered workers for each beneficiary.
Now, I happen to know this stat. Can anybody guess, when they started Social Security in 1940, how many workers there were for each retiree at that time?
You got a guess, Colleen?
I'm thinking.
Right now, it's about 3 to 1 or so. Okay.
Let's say maybe 2 to 1.
Well, it's 3 right now, so it would be higher.
Higher.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. I have no clue. 4.
Isn't that amazing? It's actually, it was 42 workers for each person, retiree, at that time in 1940. There were 42 to 1. So that's why it's going to be incumbent on Congress to make some adjustments to the benefits, possibly the age at which we get full retirement. If they made minor adjustments, especially for those who are younger, and, you know, we, the populace, were notified about it and educated about it, I think everybody would be all in on that. Because, you know, when they started these things at in 1940 at age 65, if it were equivalent today, let's just add 6 years to that, it'd be about 71, of course, before you'd be have the full retirement, or be eligible, perhaps.
You know, though, back then, if you lived to 65, you lived a pretty good long life.
You sure did.
You know?
That's right. Relativity.
We are talking all things Social Security today. I think before we go much further here, we do want to take this phone call.
You bet. Let's do that.
Okay. Nancy from Gaylord is on the phone with us. Are you there, Nancy?
Hi, how are you?
Good. How about you?
Good. I just have a quick question confusing with collecting Social Security widow benefit at the age of 60. Okay. And you can only make so much per year, right, if you continue working?
All right, so you're talking about survivor benefits. Family members who collect benefits include a widow or widower who is 60, you're right, or older. And your children, by the way, can receive benefits if they're younger than 18 years old. All right?
Okay. So, but for as myself, you can only make so much per year continuing working, correct? Or is that different than Social Security, the widow benefit?
I believe it's different, but you will need to check with Social Security. I'm not sure of that question. So your concern is if your earnings are too great, could you still receive your widow's benefit?
Correct.
I am not sure about that, and Heidi's not able to help either. So we're going to have to have Social Security answer that for you. Now, I would suggest they should be able to answer that for you.
Give them a call.
Yeah, you're.
I just thought I'd give you a call anyway. You had the best voice for radio.
You just made Dennis Prout's day. How do you like that?
I
have to at least call and tell him he's got the perfect radio voice.
Excellent.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
Easy on the ears. Thank you for everything.
All right, you're welcome. Nancy, thanks so much for your call. On line two, we are talking to Chuck in Traverse City. Hi, Chuck.
Hello.
Hi, what's going on?
Hello, Chuck.
Well, this year, for tax year 2020, RMDs weren't required.
Correct.
And I was wondering if that was going to roll over to 2021.
Well, currently that is not the case. So for 2021, you will have to take your required minimum distribution if you turn 72 or older this year.
Well, okay. Right now that's not a problem.
Okay. Yeah, so they started up again. Now, may I ask, are you 70 and a half or older?
Oh, I'm older than 72, so there you go.
Oh, okay. So, you can also do a QCD or qualified charitable distribution if you are charitably minded. Okay. So that's,
are you charitably
that money
minded?
Then would not be taxable.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Oh, all right. That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you don't need or want the income or you don't want to pay the tax on it, this way may wind up being the best money that you give to charity is that amount that would previously have been taxable, give it direct to the charity of your choice, making it non-taxable. Because most people can't deduct the amount that they give to charity, this can be truly a way to not have to declare that income. And then, in essence, it's deductible, all right?
Right.
Makes sense?
Hmm. Yeah, I'll keep that in mind.
Excellent.
All right, Chuck, thank you for your call. We appreciate you listening.
All right, sure enough.
We have another call. Looks like, who do we have here? Linda on line three. Hi, Linda.
Hi, I was just calling to say that I have a brother who's a widower also.
Yes.
And I don't think it matters what you make to be able to collect after age 60.
I would guess that would be the case.
You just have to meet the requirements that you haven't remarried within a certain amount of time.
Correct. You can't have remarried. That's exactly right. But our quick fact sheet, our cheat sheet here, did not discuss that. So, and I would believe that you're correct. But, I would want that. I'm forgetting who this was that called anyway.
There are several good books out on Social Security, too, because I actually purchased one before I started drawing my own. That tells you all about the program. And I was telling Vic that, you know, over the years, it takes so many workers to support this because the program has so expanded since 1940. You know, what started out as a basic program now covers so many people for disabilities, widows, dependents, you know, all things that before possibly the state used to pay for, I think, disability.
Yeah. You make a great point. So because of that expansion in benefits, they're going to have to adjust those benefits going forward, and hopefully they do.
Exactly, and more people, you know, are claiming benefits, you know.
Yes. Well, because of COVID and or, you know, they were expecting to work until 65. That's another big one. Many people think they're going to work until 65, and then whatever happens, and they say, oh, my gosh, you know, I got to collect Social Security earlier. So, yes.
The big caveat I've learned is that you read as much as you can before you make any decisions, because once you make a decision, it's permanent. they can't change it and fix it for you. And I also have heard that Social Security does not always, whoever you're talking to, does not always know the correct answer.
Well, that's
so
exactly
I would research
correct.
My questions yeah. with multiple different times with different people.
And that's why you need a financial professional.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, because you can't fix it. Once you take a distribution or whatever, that's it. You know.
All right. Well, Linda, thank you for your call. We appreciate that.
Thank you. Bye.
Appreciate the call. Now, what's interesting is we've actually had clients who said, well, you know, I didn't take Social Security benefits for a year, so I wanted to reverse those benefits, but I'm still fighting with them. I'm still trying to get that administratively handled so that I can return those amounts and be treated as though I never collected. So that is one thing that you can reverse. If you want to stop your benefits within 1 year of starting collecting, you can return the benefits received from Social Security and be treated as though you never collected at all. And so all those amounts that were paid out, again, you'd be treated like a brand new retiree later
so that's
in life.
In 1 year?
Mm-hmm. So that's within 1 year. It used to be unlimited, you know, all the way to age 70 if you wanted to, but they really cut that back, which I thought frankly was smart, but they cut it back now to a 1 year time frame. So there are some cases when you can reverse these things, but generally not a good idea to try to get it done on the other side of that coin. Okay?
All right.
Next, a question. And I thought this was really good. If I were born on June 12th, for example, and I wanted to file for benefits as soon as I reached age 62, I wouldn't get my first benefit check until August because my initial month of entitlement would be in July, not June. Does this rule also apply if I file for my full retirement age of 67? In essence, must I be 67 in 1 month to collect 100% of my primary insurance amount or 100% of my full benefit at that point? If I wasn't born in the first or second of the month. And what would you say to that, Heidi?
Well,
any comments about that?
There is that little caveat about the first of the month being counted in the previous month. So that's just another little thing that doesn't really always follow logic, but that's the way that it's set up there.
Yeah. So this the attained age requirement applies only to applicants who file for benefits at age 62. It does not apply to initial claims made later. Therefore, if you plan to claim beginning in the month you reach full retirement age, you can expect to receive 100% of your primary insurance amount, or PIA, immediately, regardless of which day of the month you were born. Remember, your check always will be paid in the month following the month for which it's due. So unless you were born June 1st, let's say, first of the month, then you're considered as being a May date, which would then mean your benefit would be paid in July.
Mm-hmm.
July. Okay. So that's the caveat to that particular point. Then another one. I've been collecting a spousal benefit under my wife's records for 2 years. As I was able to take advantage of the restricted filing strategy. My plan always has been to switch over to my own retirement benefit when I turn 70, but I may want to file sooner for the higher benefit. Then he goes on to say, I was hoping to be able to determine how much benefit would be if I filed now, but when I logged into SSA.gov or my Social Security account, I couldn't see anything. Where can I learn how much my retirement benefit would be? And the answer is, unfortunately, once any benefit is claimed, even if it's not your own, future retirement benefit estimates are no longer displayed in your online account. So that's one case where it's not going to be available to you in terms of those numbers.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.